The old-time radio era, sometimes referred to as the Golden Age of Radio, was an era during which radio was the dominant home entertainment medium. Families regularly gathered around to tune into their favorite programs. Enjoy today's special nostalgic broadcast as Project Independence and You presents the old-time radio.
Suspense. This is the Man in Black. Tonight from Hollywood, we bring you a star, Mr. Gene Kelly, in a suspense play by Emil C. Tepperman called The Man Who Couldn't Lose. It is a tale of dawn till midnight in a man's life, a tale of murder and money and luck, such luck as pursues a man once in 100 years. And now with The Man Who Couldn't Lose, and with the performance of Gene Kelly as Leonard Snell, the lucky New Yorker, we again hope to keep you in suspense.
You feeling all right now?
Sure. Sure, I feel swell.
You better not talk anymore, though.
Oh, why not? I got nothing to worry about. That's what I'm telling you. Something's happened to me. I'm not scared. Just like old man Marsley said, it doesn't happen often, but when it does, well, it's happened to me. Something's happened to me that doesn't happen once in 100 years. And it all happened in one day. Yeah. It began this morning.
Leonard. Leonard. Don't try to kid me. You're not asleep. Get up.
Sure. Okay.
I cook your breakfast. I come home and cook your dinner. In between, I work behind that counter all day until I'm so tired I can't hardly stand up. The least you can do is get up and drive me to work.
Sure, I will.
And what do? Nothing.
Now listen, Steve.
You don't call what you do work, I hope. When did you last sell an insurance policy? When? I'll bet you can't even remember. I'm sure I can.
All right.
And when you do get up enough energy to sell one once in a while, I never see the money. Horses, sweepstakes, tickets, and numbers, anything. Just so long as you can gamble it away. But do you ever bring a dollar home? Not that I ever hear anything.
Ah, shut up.
Don't you tell me to shut up, Leonard Snell. I pay the rent when it gets paid. I pay the grocery bills. I pay for everything. You'd think at least I'd get a little appreciation once in a while.
I appreciate it. I hear about it enough.
Well, why don't you do something about it then?
Listen, Celia, I don't feel so good today.
Sure. That's what you said yesterday and the day before. That's what you always say every time anybody talks about work. Well, I'm sick and tired of it. You promised you were going to get a job this week, and you're going to do it.
Celia. There's something I got to tell you.
Oh, I suppose you want to wheedle some money out of me again. Well, if you can't even keep a little lunch money in your pocket...
No, Celia, listen, it's more than that.
It is. I suppose you got another hot tip on the races. Well, if you think I'm going to...
Will you shut up?
Well,
listen,
I'm not...
Listen, Celia. I've sold quite a few insurance policies in the last 6 months.
Oh, you have you? Well, where's the money? Oh, don't pull that on me. You're going to get a job.
All right. I spent the money.
On the races?
Yeah, only it wasn't all my money.
What do you mean?
I mean I'm $1,800 short, and this is the last day to settle up my accounts with the company.
You stole it.
No, I thought I was going to get it back and make a killing. I had some tips that were supposed to be sure things.
Oh, I get it. $1,800. Quite a coincidence, isn't it?
Well, $1,703. What's the difference?
And it just so happened that I had $1,800 in a safe deposit box that Aunt May left me this spring. Quite a coincidence.
Celia, I got to get that money back to them today.
Well, I don't believe a word of it. And you're not going to get that money.
If I don't, they can send me to jail.
And if I did believe you, you wouldn't get it. Maybe a few months in jail would teach you a little consideration. You know I got to have an operation sometime this fall. You think I want to go into a charity ward?
Celia, they can give me 5 years.
You've had your eye on that money ever since you heard I got it. But you're not going to get it. Why do you think I wear the key to that safe deposit box around my neck?
Celia.
Suppose you think I haven't noticed.
Celia,
you think I don't know all those times you tried to get that chain off my neck when you thought I was asleep.
Celia,
well, I wasn't quite as sleepy as you thought, mister.
All right, Celia.
And don't think you can wheel it out of me.
All right, Celia.
Len. Len, get away from me. Len.
I knew I'd have to do that to you someday. I bent over her. She was dead, all right. The key was on that little chain around her neck, just like it had always been. I yanked on the chain, and it snapped, and the key came away in my hand. I shaved and got dressed, and then I went to a purse. It was $9 and some change and the usual junk, and that Irish sweepstake ticket made out in the name of I'm a Winner. I put the money in my pocket and the ticket in my wallet. I was all set to go now, except for writing the letter. All of a sudden, I realized that what I was doing didn't seem strange to me at all. It was like one of those dreams where you think it's all happened before sometime. I wrote, through the police, I have killed my wife in a fit of anger. I can't go on living anymore after doing a thing like that to Celia. I'm short in my accounts, too, so there's only one thing for me to do. Don't bother looking for me. By the time you get this letter, you can find me in the city morgue. Yours truly, Leonard Snell.
Leonard.
Good morning, Mr. Marsley.
Leonard, I just had some great news. I knew you'd want to hear about it right away.
Well, I'm in sort of a hurry this morning.
All right. Where do you hear this? You know that picric acid dye formula I've been working on?
Yeah.
The government's just bought an option on it. They're going to try it out under factory conditions. When they do, well, my boy, it'll be worth $1 million.
Well, what do you know? That's really great. Well, I guess
so
I'd better be...
I have decided to take out that annuity you've been trying to sell me. Got an application with you?
You... Oh, yeah, sure.
Come on inside.
Oh, hello there, Leonard.
Good morning.
Why, my land, you look as though you've just seen a ghost or something.
Just sold a policy. You don't sell them like that every day, do you, my boy? What's that first premium? About $3,400, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there's a nice commission in that, eh, Leonard? About $1,800, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. 18.
Well, Leonard certainly deserves it.
Oh, yeah.
He works very hard. I see him coming home every evening with that briefcase and all those papers under his arm.
Most of those papers are the racing forms, aren't they, Leonard?
Well,
sit down, my boy. Watch out for those bottles, picric acid. You know, I've been watching you, Leonard. You've had a hard time, but you're a gambler. You believe a lot in luck. Well, now, I've got a theory about luck.
Yeah. Now, when were you born?
March 1st, 1878. Yes, sir, luck is something that can come in big doses sometimes, almost as though fate had planned out ahead of time.
Uh-huh. Who's the beneficiary?
Oh, my wife, of course. There's a perfectly good mathematical explanation for it. Of course, a number of unrelated events converge, and they all add up to the good fortune of a single man. Happens once in a century, perhaps, but it does happen.
Uh-huh. You can make the check out.
Of course. Why don't I make it out to you personally? Then I can collect that 3 months' rent you owe me, huh?
Well, sure. That'll be $3,255.
Oh, fine. I'll make it right out.
You know, Leonard, I was saying to Sam just this morning, I'm almost as glad for your sake as for ours. My, won't Celia be surprised?
Huh?
I said, won't Celia be surprised?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, where is Celia? She usually leaves for work long before this. I always hear her.
Well, she's...
Leonard, don't tell me there's anything wrong. I know she hasn't been feeling well lately.
Oh, no. She's got a little headache, you know.
Oh, poor thing. Why didn't you tell me? I'll go right upstairs.
No, you better not. She told me she wanted to sleep. She's asleep now.
Oh, well, then I won't bother her.
Well, my boy, here's your check.
Thanks.
Now, don't play that on the races.
Don't worry.
But you keep playing your luck just the same. Well, luck is a funny thing. You've had a lucky start today. Maybe your luck has changed.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it has. Why couldn't he have signed it yesterday? That's all I could think of for a couple of minutes. Why couldn't he sign it yesterday? That was done now. So I got in the car and drove downtown. First, I went to Celia's bank and got that $1,800 out of the deposit box. Nobody said a word. Then I went to Marsley's bank and cashed his check. I had over $5,000 now. I drove over towards the park. A clock in the jewelry store said 10:15. That was plenty of time. Park, I stopped and gave it once over to the bum sitting around on the benches in the sun. There's always a bunch of them there. Pretty soon, I see a guy that looks about right.
Hey, you.
Me?
Yeah, you want to make $5?
You mean a job?
Oh, you won't have to strain yourself. I just hurt my wrist. I can't drive. I got to go uptown to meet a guy. Want to drive me?
Oh, okay.
You got a license?
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a license.
Let's see it.
Okay. Here.
Floyd Eustace. Omaha, Nebraska. You're kind of a long ways from home, aren't you?
Yeah. But it's okay to drive within this state if you got a licensed driver with you.
Okay, Floyd Eustace. You'll do. We get in the car and head uptown. My luck is holding all right. This guy couldn't have been better if I'd looked a week. I see another clock, and it's only a little past 10:30 now. I still got lots of time, so I decide to clean up the details now.
How am I doing?
Okay, but turn right at the next block, Floyd. I want to go by the 43rd Street post office and mail a letter.
Sure. You could mail it at a letterbox, though.
Yeah, but, I don't want to mail it at a letterbox.
Oh, okay.
I go into the post office and get a stamp and mail a letter. The letter I tell about killing Sheila is just addressed to the police commissioner, 21 Center Street. Somehow, I just don't trust the letterbox because if the police don't get that letter right on time and start looking, it's not so good. I go out and get in the car and tell Floyd Eustace where to go. We head uptown, and after a while, we get to Fort Tryon Park, right up above Riverside Drive, looking over the river. There's hardly ever anybody up there at this time of year, so I feel pretty safe. Sure enough, there wasn't. I got the monkey wrench out, and I had it in my hand.
This right?
Yeah. Just pull over there up against the rail.
Gee, I never been up here. Must be quite a drop down there. A couple of hundred feet, huh?
Uh-huh.
This where you're supposed to meet the guy?
Yeah.
Right here.
I dragged him into the back seat and took off all his clothes, and then all mine. I changed clothes with him right down to the underwear and socks. I put all my papers in his pocket. My license, old man Moffrey's application, my wallet, the works. Then I dragged him up front again behind the wheel. Then there was something else I had to do that I didn't like much either, but... Well, I couldn't take any chances. I held his head back against the seat and raised the monkey wrench again. I hit him in the face. I hit him a lot.
Stand back now. Stand back.
I tell you, officer, it didn't land more than 3 feet from me. Not more than 3 feet.
What happened?
This car just rolled off the Palisades up there somehow and landed smack in the middle of the street.
Gee, look at his face. He must have gone right through the windshield.
Poor fella. Guy named Snell. Leonard Snell.